Heather Dobbin tonight, turned to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23. Luke, chapter 23. Let's believe it. We said songs of God. We're to worship together again tonight. Glad to see you on behalf of the Lord. And I hope that you've come to get something from your heart, to hear from the Lord, and to worship Him. I trust that God will speak to our hearts now in this time and give us what we stand in need of. And I pray that He touch us tonight in His way and in His will. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 23. I want to read verses 48 and 49. We pray for us. I ask you humbly and sincerely to be there. That God will have mercy and help us tonight. Then as we pray, after we read, we ask you to pray for your own heart. Mind that God would open it to the word of the Lord tonight. And that I trust then as you open your heart and mind to the word of God that you'll be obedient to what the scripture says. And respond to it tonight as the Lord would speak to your heart. Luke chapter 23 and verse 48. The Bible said, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breath and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Let us pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the privilege to let me bow before you in prayer. I realize, Lord, tonight that I'm unworthy to pray. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being good to us, merciful and mindful of us, and allowed us this opportunity, Lord, to assemble in your house one more time. Thank you for the good day. Thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion that's been sung tonight. Thank you, dear Lord, for the precious word of God that you let us read from. Thank you for the portion that you directed my heart to. Thank you for the thoughts that you've given us in the days gone by. Lord, I pray tonight now as we stand that you might anoint us afresh, that you might have mercy and help us. Thank you for touching us in the night past. But Lord, here we are needing a fresh touch tonight. I'd ask you to breathe only one more time. I'd ask you to anoint the lips of clay. I'd ask you to help me to preach now. I pray, Lord, that you'd forgive me for everything and anything in my heart that's contrary. Every action, every attitude, desire, motive, lust, and any word, God, and deed, and thought and feeling in my heart that's contrary and unchristlike. I pray and ask your forgiveness tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd move it far from us. And, Father, I pray now you'd fill us with the knowledge of your will and the knowledge of your word. And I pray that you'd breathe upon me a fresh in you. I pray you'd hide me in the cross and anoint me and empower me and enable me to preach. Let me say what you won't say tonight. Open my understanding to the word of God. And Father, let us preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. May the word of God go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray tonight you'd prepare hearts to receive it. Break up fallow ground. Oh Lord, seal a message up to heart. Awaken sinners tonight and draw them to you tonight. Deepen conviction, Lord, that they might fall out of the ways of sin. Repent and turn to you tonight. Worm and draw them to you tonight. Stir the saints of God. Revive us again that we might rejoice in it. I pray, God, that you'd have your way in each of our hearts tonight. But, Lord, I pray above everything, you'd get glory to thy name in this service tonight. Have your precious way. They'll work effectively and mighty in us and through us. To the O Lord, unto thy name's honor, glory, and praise. Have mercy and help us do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we'll bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm interested in verse 49, both verses, but I'm interested in a phrase in verse 49 that I want to preach on tonight if the Lord will help me. When the Bible said, stood afar off. If the Lord would help me tonight and touch me, I want to preach on some folks or some people that stood afar off. Now, I have no idea tonight where you're standing, but I hope tonight that God will reveal to your heart where you are standing. And if you're standing where you should not be tonight, that the Lord would help you to get where you need to be. Now, the Bible tells us here that these people stood afar off. And tonight we can stand near
And sometimes we can stand it afar off. Sometimes we're at a distance. Sometimes we're not close. But God knows tonight where we are. And I hope tonight that He'll show us. Sometimes it's not altogether bad to stand afar off. Then there's situations tonight and circumstances where we should not stand afar off tonight. But if you'll go with me tonight in the Word of God, three or four or five places I want to mention tonight have some people that stood afar off. First of all, in Exodus chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible said, I thank the Lord that the Bible said, and his sister stood afar off to wit what should be done to him. Of course, the sister here is Moses' sister. And the Bible said that she stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. What would be done to Moses. Of course, you're familiar with the story of Moses and how that in Egypt bondage the children of Israel have been for 400 years, and how that Amram and Jochebed have a boy child by the name of Moses. You'll remember that Pharaoh has given commandment to the Hebrew midwives that if they came to my friend deliver a child, and if they realize it's a son that's born, they're to kill the boy child. If it's a female born to the Hebrew, Hebrew wives, then they're to let him live. But the Bible said the Hebrew midwives don't fear the king, and they fear God and will not obey what he's commanded them. And the Lord blessed them because of that. I'm glad tonight that we still have people that'll do what God said regardless of the commandment of Pharaoh. Amen. You see, this abortion crowd and this feminist crowd, it's not a new bunch on the scene. It's just the old devilish God things that have my friend followed us all down through the ages. But the Hebrew midwives, God would not kill Moses. I would not kill the boy babies, but God let them live. Amen. When Pharaoh asked them about it, they said, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They're lively in their birth, and ere we get there, the child is done born, and so we can't kill it. Then Pharaoh commanded the soldiers, God, to enter into the Hebrew, my friend, the houses, and to take the young boy babies, and throw them out under the Nile River, and let the alligators and the crocodiles eat them and destroy them. But here's Amram and Jochebed, and they fear God, and they go ahead and God and give birth to this child and this boy baby by the name of Moses. Now, if Amram and Jochebed lived today, social services would have said, you're poor and you're in bad shape, and you've already got some kids, and no need of bringing another one into this poverty and into this slavery. Why don't you just abort it and do away with it? But I tell you, God, I was let be born as a deliverer for Israel. Amen. And so, I thank God, the Bible said he was born, and they saw he was a goodly child, and they hid him 3 months. Hid him from the soldiers. I protected him. Hallelujah. Now I want to say tonight, somebody said you can't protect your kids and shine, you know, and shield them from everything. But my God, I want to shield mine from as much of this world as I can.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I know they got to live and function in this world. But there's some things out there that absolutely destroy their soul.
Amen.
And if I can protect them from it, I'm going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
I am done.
Yes,
I'll tell you, Hollywood will destroy them.
Amen.
MTV will destroy them.
Yes, sir.
Hey, friend.
Amen.
That motley crowd of rock and rollers.
Amen.
I'll destroy your kids.
Right.
I'll do your best to protect them from it tonight.
Amen.
Guard them from it. Ain't nothing wrong. as a bird. And you have to change yours. And thunder. And to face the world. And make an ark. And build an ark of prayer around them. Oh, yes, sir. And she did. And laid him in that ark. And she fixed it. And with that swine. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Same thing that Noah pitched in the ark. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And atonement. Hallelujah. Oh, she bathed his wife in prayer. And set him out in that little bitty ark amongst the reeds of the river. And said, God, I've done all I can. Now it's up to you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. And out there in amongst them reeds of the Nile River, bobble that little bitty ark. And then the Bible said his sister stood afar off to wit what was to be done to him. She hid back there somewhere at a distance and watched to see what's going to become of Moses.
Right.
And the Bible said as she watched, here comes Pharaoh's daughter. And all morning for her to want to take a bath, she chose this morning.
Right.
And of all places, the Nile River, at that particular spot to have her bath that morning,
right,
as the servant followed her, here she comes.
Amen.
Of course, she realized it's just by coincidence and by chance. It was just good luck that she come. Now, I'm being sarcastic tonight, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm telling you, thank God, tonight the providence of God works in the lives of men and women. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You're not here by accident tonight or by chance. It's the providence of God that brought you to this place. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
You said I was careful coming up the road. That's cautious. You may have been, but if the hand of providence had watched over you and brought you here tonight, you wouldn't be here.
That's right. Sure.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. I've no doubt to get the right folks at the right place at the right time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And here's Pharaoh's daughter. And thank God. And Moses been laying in that ark all the time. Miriam's watching him, and he ain't said a word. He's content to bug and run. Thank God, just laying in that ark and hadn't said anything until Pharaoh's daughter walks up and sticks her foot in the water. And when she does, all of a sudden, thank God, he goes to cry. And it pulls her heartstrings.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I want to tell you, there's something God placed in every woman that when a baby cries, it pulls her heartstrings. That's natural. That's the way God had put it in.
Amen.
It ought to be that way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And she said, I believe here, baby, cry. And they found that ark amongst the reeds, and they pulled it out and laid it in her arms, and instantly it was love at first sight.
Yeah.
And she said, this is one of the Hebrew babies. Oh. And they put him here hiding him from my daddy, no doubt. Oh, and she loved that baby. Hallelujah. And she said to them servant women, I'm going to call him Moses, because I drew him out of the water.
Right.
And Miriam had been standing afar off, come walking up, and said, I'm Miss Pharaoh. I said, that's a little baby you got there, and he's needing to be fed. And I know some good nursing mothers that are Hebrews, since he's Hebrew. Why don't you let me take him to one of them, and they'll see after. She said, go ahead. And if he needs anything, you just, I'll send somebody down there today with the money needed. How to take care of him.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. In the house come a little Miriam and said, Mama, guess what? You never guess who took Moses out of that ark. It's Pharaoh's daughter. And she fell in love with him. And she's going to pay for you to raise him and see after him until he's big enough to go to the palace.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Woo! What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you tonight. If you want to do like me, just go ahead. I just stand afar off and watch God's illness tonight and see if it don't turn out all right.
Hey,
it looked pretty rough for a while. Here we are in Egyptian bondage. And another old
a first-class education. Hallelujah. And get him ready and prepared. And to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage. And come here tonight. And you just stand around. And watch what happens to God's people. It'll work out right every time. And God will bring victory and glory out of his youngins in due time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I guess you ought to be used to me by now. This makes the third night. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'll stand afar off and watch his youngins tonight. And you'll see how he'll work in their life. You'll see how he'll dictate and direct and move in their behalf. Woo! So tonight, Miriam stood afar off from the crib. Secondly tonight, I want you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Bible said, and the 50 sons of the prophets stood to view afar off at Jordan. So the 50 sons of the prophets stood to view at the cross afar off. Now what we're talking about here is Elijah and Elisha have been on a journey. That morning they left Gilgal, went to Bethel, right, then went to Jericho, right, went to the Jordan and crossed it. Amen. Yeah. Because this is the day that Elijah's going to be taken from Elisha. Right. God's going to supernaturally translate or transform or move him out of this world.
Amen.
And that morning he gets up and he says, that's to Elisha, tarry here at Gilgal, I must go to Bethel. He said, no, that's the Lord God. And as I so will, I'm not going to leave you. And they went from Gilgal to Bethel. Gilgal's the wheel. Gilgal's the circle. And Gilgal's the place where a lot of Christians are today. Just going around and around and around and never getting anywhere in the Christian life. But they went to Bethel, which was Bethel's the house of God. Amen. And they went to the house of God. Now they went to, I think, for one reason. I know that the house of God had been blessed. Bethel had become a place of idolatry instead of a place of true worship.
Amen. Amen.
Ever since Jeroboam raised up that golden calf, it became, instead of a house of God, it became a house of idolatry. And Elijah wanted Elisha, the young prophet, how to see what it was like in the church.
Amen. Amen.
Hey. Hallelujah. I want to tell you tonight that you must be an ostrich to go ahead in the sand not to see what our churches have become. Lord God, they become recreation centers instead of places of worship. And they become places of idolatry and places to pacify and satisfy the flesh instead of a place to get something for your soul. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's become a place of purpose and personality. Amen. And promotions and praying. Hey, you hear me? Hey, God, I'm preaching right tonight. And by the way, hey, God, I'm not for playing the Andy videos over at my church and trying to instill some morals into my people. If I ain't got enough Holy Ghost about me and enough for call of God on my life, how to preach that blessed old King James Bible and teach folks what's right, what's wrong, I don't need Andy's help. Hey, God, to teach them morals.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all got any of that or not around here. Amen. But it's around some of the places that we're at.
Amen.
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 Thank God. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God. Amen. Oh, we don't have exciting skits in our church. Oh, but thank God. We've got to sing in the Spirit and worship in the Spirit. And preach in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, this will become a place of our doctrine. He said, stay here, Elisha. I've got to go to Jericho. He said, no, as thy soul liveth, as the Lord liveth, my soul liveth, I'm not going to leave
you.
And I went down to Jericho. Jericho's the lowest place on the face of the earth. Amen. It's way below sea level. Lowest spot there is. And that's where God had Elijah to go, and Elisha went with him.
Amen.
counterfeit the sons of the prophets is there, and they said, don't you know what your master's going to be taking from your head today?
Amen.
He said, I know it holds your peace. Don't make no difference. I'm going with him. Hallelujah. And then he said, stay here at Jericho. I've got to go across Jordan. He said, I'm going with you. I followed y'all this way. I'm going to go join with you. Now, Jordan's a descender. That's what his name means. My God, that descends from the hills of Judea, the foothills, until it empties in the Dead Sea.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And it descends. And on tonight, if you follow God, it'll be our constant life. Coming down, coming down, coming down. Humility, humbling yourself.
Right.
It's also a type of death. And if you follow God, you'll have to die out to self. Self will. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, bless his name. I hope y'all getting something out of this. Because I sure am enjoying trying to preach it. Of course, I realize sometimes, you know, I preach and look like folks ain't getting nothing. I'm not saying that about you. I'm just, because I ain't looking at you. Hallelujah. Amen. But I preach sometimes look like folks look at me like a new cat looking at a gate. Hallelujah. Wondering what's going on. I thank God if I got hooked up just right. I just want to go ahead, amen. I mean, if I get to the table, it's good you just sitting there watching me eat. Hey, God, if I'm hungry and it's a tasting good, I ain't going to let you looking at me. I fat my eating. I'm just going to eat till I get satisfied. Oh, oh, thank God. Oh, bless his name. And so here he is. I crossed over Jordan. Like them 50 sons of the prophets. Instead of following Elijah and going with Elisha, they just stand and you
apart.
I wonder tonight if you crossed and going all the way with God. Are you just looking on?
Amen. Amen.
Are you in church or at it? Do you just get happy when somebody else does? Now don't tell me your emotions can't run high. I was raised in church. I know all about that. And when I used to get happy and cry, I'd get happy and cry. But that didn't make me saved.
Amen.
Some folks think crying and feeling better salvation. Hell no. It's deeper than that.
Amen.
Now, Mom and Daddy, when I do wrong, used to take the belt and lay it across my backside. And I'd cry and feel better. But I wasn't saved. Amen. That's exactly right. Hey, and crying and feeling better is not salvation. And folks get caught up in emotion. I will tell you, there ought to be something inside of your life today. Thank God that it don't take somebody else to trigger set off.
Amen.
And the verse that I don't take was that spring up, oh well. And once in a while, and for no apparent reason, you hadn't worked it up or borrowed on, nobody said nothing. But if it's really down inside of you, all of a sudden it would just start springing up. He said it'd be a whale. Spring it up. Thank God. A whale of everlasting life. I'm getting sort of tipsy now and feeling right well. Thank God to know I'm saved tonight. I mean, I've gone down the road. Woke up in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden just starts springing up inside of me. That Holy Ghost river. Thank God that joy bell ringing in my soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Some folks are just looking on, watching everybody else, and have never got there for themselves tonight. Amen. I was saved on the 13th, called to preach. Started preaching. Preached half a dozen times, maybe less. And one Sunday night, I went to church. It got out. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? And next thing I knowed, I got to hollering and shouting and running and ripping and jumping and whatever it is. Hallelujah. And it affected me that night. And I ain't got over it.
Amen.
I got born in the fire and can't stand the smoke. And hallelujah. And a real worship put inside of my heart. And I can't accept nothing else but that. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know where you've been tonight or what your experience But there's a lot of folks just need to cross Jordan tonight.
Amen.
Oh, preacher, you're holy, preacher. You're talking about a second work of grace. I'm just talking about letting you, God have all of you tonight.
Amen.
Letting the Holy Ghost take over every bit of you.
Amen.
Selling out to this world.
Amen.
And getting beyond yourself. And getting filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I'm not talking about jabbering and seeing visions. No. I'm talking about being controlled by the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen. Tonight. Yes, sir.
Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir.
Are you just standing and viewing afar off tonight?
God bless your heart, preacher. Thank God.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, when Elisha got on the other side of Jordan, Elijah, for the first time that day, said to him, "What is it you want? Why you been following me? What's your petition? What are you asking for?" And he said, "I want a double portion of spirit that rests upon you." Elisha scratched his head and said, "You've asked a hard thing." Didn't say you've asked an impossible thing, but said you've asked a hard thing. But he said, "Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be given to you. But if you're not, you won't have it." Can you help me just a minute, brother? Stand up, my son. When Elijah said that to Elisha, I believe Elisha said, "I've come too far. Turn back now."
Right.
And he wrapped his arms around him
and
said, "I'm a-going with you. Ain't nothing going to keep me from seeing and having that double portion. Locked arm and arm with him." The Bible said they two walked on.
That's right. Amen.
I'd like to heard the conversation,
amen,
won't you?
Oh,
hallelujah. And the last words that Elijah said, all of a sudden, the Bible said, "Here come a whirlwind." And there was a chariot of fire in that whirlwind. Thank God, and it parted them asunder.
Right.
That made me think they was close together, so it took the chariot how to get them apart.
That's right.
Thank you, brother. Thank God, and he parted. Thank God. And the chariot door opened, and Elijah got in and started and that whirlwind up to heaven.
Amen.
Elijah just turned out looking on and said, "Have a chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." Amen. And as he looked, hallelujah, as he watched, thank God, down from that a chariot come a man. Fell down in front of Elijah.
Right.
Elijah looked at that. And Elisha looked at the man. And Elisha looked at himself. Just tore off his robe, reached down and got Elijah's mouth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And put it around him.
Amen.
And said, "I've got it." Hallelujah. And headed back unto the rebel. Hallelujah.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Now when he got back to Jordan, there's him 50 sons of the prophets still viewing afar off. And Elisha's down there to Jordan. It parted for Elijah and Elisha when they went over the first time. Elisha wrapped his mantle together and parted the waters, and they walked through on dry ground. Now the waters done folded, come back together, and here's Elisha. And he stepped to that river. And he said, "Where's the Lord God of Elijah?"
Right.
And takes that mound down it just like Elijah did there.
Yes.
And smoke hither and thither about it. Here and yon. Here and there, amen.
Amen.
This way and that way. That's what he did. And when he did, the Lord God of Elijah showed up. And the waters parted. And Elisha went back across on God. And when he got across them 50 sons of the prophet, said, the spirit of Elijah just rest on Elisha. He's got it.
Amen.
Hey, somebody said, "I wish I could tell my grandma. Cross the Jordan tonight. Go all the way with God."
Hallelujah.
I wish I could feel what the preacher tell. Oh, God, he's not feeling that. Just tell me he's a preacher. And there's something for you tonight. If you'll cross Jordan, hey, God, the Lord God of Elijah will reveal himself to you tonight. In the fall just feeling tonight, or have you been out there and got another portion of yours?
Amen.
Oh, Liam should have fallen from the crib. sons of the prophets set afar off from the crossing. And then in Psalm 38, David's kinsmen set afar off from him.
In Psalm 38,
in verse 11, he said, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my soul, and my kinsmen stand afar off.
They won't come close to me.
And you know the man David? You know the sin that he committed? Did your eyes watch? And you know that almost a year later, when Nathan went in and preached to him and said, thou art the man, David said, I've seen.
Nathan said, the Lord has also put away thy sin.
Boy, that's amazing. Boy, I tell you, if that's all we could have,
if that was the end of the verse,
if that's the end of the story, then I tell you, it wouldn't bother me to tell you tonight to sin and just ask forgiveness. But that ain't all of it.
That's right.
So God was quick to forgive David when he confessed it. He said, nevertheless, the sword will never depart from your hand.
Right.
And the child's going to have to die.
Right.
Huh? And the rest of David's life, the sword was in his hand.
Amen. Amen.
His own son raped his own daughter.
Right.
His own son tried to usurp the throne from him.
Yes, sir.
You hear me? Oh, God.
Right.
Over and over again. And he cried that day as he wept over Absalom and said, oh, Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee.
Amen.
Oh, I know why it is, Absalom. It's going on because of my sin.
Amen.
Because I went up there and looked at that woman, desired her, and took her in. Killed her husband and made her mine. Nobody looked like knew about it, but God did.
Right.
And my sins come back to the heart.
Amen.
Then we have that famous Psalm, Psalm 51, where David cries after Nathan preached to him and said, how merciful, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, brought out my transgressions.
Right.
And restore to me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit.
Right.
Oh, that famous chapter that we read and talk about.
Amen.
But this chapter 38 of Psalms is a companion chapter. And later on in years, David sinned to steal home. He cried in Psalm 51. He said, my sin is ever before me. And so he cries in Psalm 38, oh Lord, rebuke me not and die. To ask me to chasten in thy heart. He's not saying you don't deserve the wicked. But he said, don't do it while you're angry.
Right.
He said, your arrow stick fast in me, and your hand presses me slow. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight? Mine iniquities are going over my head. Has some heavy burden there, too heavy for me. You may handle your sin tonight. You may carry your sin around for a while, but after a while, it'll get more than what's inside. It'll get too heavy for you. And it'll get over your hand, you hear me? That may be pleasurable, and it may satisfy you for a moment. But after a while, it'll burn in you that you can't turn around. It'll be like a ball and chain that you'll try to drag. It'll swallow you up. He said that my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness.
That's
what he called it.
Amen.
My loins in verse 7 are filled with a loathsome disease, and there's no soundness in my flesh. Evidently, because of this sin of immorality and adultery that David had committed, some loathsome disease. Oh, it sounds good when he says, the Lord put away thy sin. But look now at this loathsome disease. Look at his wound that's stinking.
Amen.
And he said, on top of that, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from me. And my kinsmen stand afar. I don't know what all reason they stood off. Maybe they stood afar because of the stench of his wound. Didn't want to smell it. Maybe they stood off because they realized the judgment of God that was on David's life. And they didn't want to come near to it, afraid that they might be I'm affected by it some way or another. So then just stay to far off. I don't tell you not. Sin won't bring you in. Sin will put you out. Sin will cause a folks to stand off from you. It'll separate you from God.
Amen.
It'll separate you from your family. Oh, hear me tonight.
Amen.
God help us. Our day is plagued with adults and fornication. It's a sad commentary. Folks have no conception of what it is to take marriage vows and live together.
Amen.
Folks don't think twice about going with somebody down to the workplace. Amen. Oh, Lord. My son, young son, 21-year-old, hit the workforce a couple of years back, and immediately a women face at the work, women and people at the workplace begin to proposition him. Oh, my. How sad. And it doesn't matter whether you're married or not, whether they're married or not, just so long as we go out together. So long as we have a queen and have to satisfy the lust of our flesh. That's this day that we're living in. Hallelujah. Thank God. And then preachers say God didn't call him to preach about what folks did or how they dressed. Lord God, somebody better warn this wicked generation to cover up their flesh. Somebody said it don't matter what you wear or how you dress. If that's the case, why does the Sports Illustrated have a swimsuit issue? Why does Playboy have a magazine? If it does not matter. It does matter.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Oh, you're preaching right.
You're preaching right, brother. You ain't clocking down on me.
No, sir.
We still ain't. Preaching right. Listen to me. I want to tell you, adultery is a serious business. The Bible said the adulterers will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 32 of Proverbs 6 said, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul.
Right.
I want to tell you tonight, David found out the penalty and the price of sin, friend. Oh, God forgive him. But I tell you, the sword never departed from his house, and his kinsmen set afire because of the disease that dwelled in his body.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
God help us. I'm going to tell you tonight, sin will cause your kinsmen to stand far from you. Imagine to be the king. Imagine to be sitting on the throne. And yet because of the loathsome disease in your arms and the stench of your wounds and the correctness and the judgment of God, folks would have nothing to do with it. Oh, God, where are you standing? David's kids are still far. You know, I want to say tonight in Luke chapter 18, begin at verse 10. The publican stood afar off from the conceit. Jesus said two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. The Pharisee got up there and he didn't smote his breath. He just stood there, raised his head up, and said, Lord, it's me again. I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even as this public. And I fast twice a week to pay tithes on all I possess. But God didn't hear it. One preacher said, Brother Winkler from North Carolina said that his prayer left his head and hit to the top of the temple and bounced right back down. I believe it. Verse 13 said the publican standing afar.
Oh, wouldn't even come as close as fast he did. Said, I'm not worthy to get up there any closer. I'll just have to stand back here.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what place he got exactly. I suppose he must have come into the court of the Jews there, the men.
Sure.
But he wouldn't get very close. Probably stood just at the very entrance. And bowed his head and smote his breast and said, God, be merciful to me.
Right. Amen.
And the Bible said he went down this house with a justified.
Yes, sir.
In the Pharisees.
Amen.
I don't guess any of y'all have ever tried any fast food for pleasure. Y'all don't do that in Georgia, do you? I've tried that kind of thing. Told God how long I've been saved and where all I preached and all of my do's and don'ts. And it never got me nowhere. He never was impressed. Never felt his courage. But oh, when I humbled before him and said, Lord, I'm not deserving of anything you've given me.
Yep.
And you saved me from hell, and I appreciate mercy. I thank you for mercy now, and if I still got justice, I'd be in hell when they go. But I appreciate you loving me and have mercy on me. I tell you, I've been in business every time when I prayed like
Amen.
That. And meant it from my heart.
Amen.
Where are you standing?
Yes, sir.
Are you standing far off? And then our text tonight tells us in these two verses. And when all those that were there beheld these things, they walked away and smoked the bread. He said his kinfolk, his kinsmen, and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off and wondered at these things. Tonight, where you're standing in relation to the cross. Now, there were some at the cross that were walking by and reviling him, wagging their heads,
right.
and saying, if you're the Son of God, save yourself.
Right.
Come down from the cross.
Right. Sure.
But you may not be in that number tonight that's ridiculing and mocking and wagging your head. If you're standing afar off from him, you're standing in indifference to the cross. You may not be the agnostic. You may not be the doubter. You may not be the scoffer. You may not be tonight trying to bring his name down and blaspheme it in the ears of others. But you're standing afar off from him. You've never been to Calvary. Let the drippings of Calvary fall on your shoulders.
Amen.
I want to tell you tonight, you'll go to the same hell that the agnostic and the skeptic goes to tonight. You hear what I'm saying to you? Just by standing afar off, for Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you gather not together, you scatter abroad.
Right. Amen.
No neutral ground when it comes to Jesus. You're either on his side or you're against him. And to be indifferent, to stand afar off, and to fail to get to his cross, and to let the blood that he shed there, hey, God, fall on you as a remission for your sins.
Yes,
it's to be altogether lost tonight.
Amen. Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
Not enough to read your Bible or come to church. Not enough to put a few pennies in the plate.
Oh,
you've
got
to get to the cross. You've got to get to Calvary.
Right.
You've
got
to humble yourself and realize you're a sinner. And beg for mercy!
Amen.
Oh, the multitudes of people tonight that are standing afar off from the cross. They're not down in religion. They're not talking about the Bible. They don't have a Ted Turner attitude. Amen. They're not out to do away with old-time Christians. But yet you're indifferent unto what happened at Calvary. And to be indifferent on and to stand afar off is to be lost.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I'm saying tonight? Oh, blessed day when I got to the cross and the drippings of Calvary fell on my soul and washed my sin away and made me a fit subject for the kingdom of God. I bless
Amen.
His name for that.
Amen.
And I'm going to heaven not because I'm a Baptist, not because I'm a preacher, but I'm going because of the shed blood that he gave for me freely on that old rugged cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whereby I was crucified to the world and the world was crucified to me. There's a twofold death that day. I died to the world and the world died to me. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said to them that perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But us that are saved, it is the power of God. I'm glad, thank God, for the cross tonight. At the cross, at the cross. That's where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. Thank God it was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been to the cross? Has the blood flowing down from Calvary been applied to your soul tonight? Are you just standing and watching tonight? And doing it for all. We're made nigh by that blood. We're made nigh by that cross. But you've got to take your place as a sinner. At the cross. Amen. You must die with him. You must identify with his death.
Amen.
Never be a part of his resurrection. Christ didn't die for his sin. He died for yours. He didn't have it. Y'all made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Would you not be saved tonight? Or are you going to keep standing and doing far off? I tell you what you do, you stand and just look. And watch. One day it'll be too late. And you'll be standing too far off at the judgment.
Amen.
But that verse said it was his kinsman and his acquaintance. And the women that followed him, that still followed. His women had been with him for over the last 3 years, three and a half years. They stood afar off. It was those that knew him, those that were acquainted with him, also that stood afar off. That's me and you tonight. Where are we in relation to the cross? Jesus, keep me near the cross. Are you standing near the cross tonight? Are you standing far off just as I? You see, because if you stand at the cross, that means you're going to get some of the ridicule he got. So most of us stay away from the cross. Now here's the crowd. Here's his disciples. Here's the women. Here's his acquaintance. Here's his kinsmen that followed him for 3.5 years. Eat the bread that he broke, come out of his hand. Oh, yeah. Drunk the wine that he'd made out of water.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Enjoyed the miracles that he'd done. Not in on all them blessings and benefits, but when it comes down to bear reproach and stand at the cross and be counted, they stood afar off. Is that where you and I are tonight? We like the shouts. We like them meeting where we run the aisle and jump the pews and holler glory. But what about it when it comes to picking up our cross and following him and denying ourselves? Are we standing near the cross tonight? Where are you standing tonight? Where are you standing? We ought to live in the shadow of the cross. If we live in the shadow of the cross, the Son of Wilderness will never darken that kingdom. Hold on. You live at the cross. You can't help but stand in love with him. Remembering what he's done for you. You stand close enough to cross and hear those seven last sayings. It'll keep your heart, didn't it? You stay close to the cross. It'll make you love sinners and have compassion on them. Are you near the cross tonight or are you just standing far off? I'm going to tell you something about church. The church. If you're not careful, it gets in the center. You come in, just sit through. Be bodily present, but absent in every other way.
We stay close to the cross. It'll be real when you come to worship. And that's the only place real worship can take place, is around the cross. And what took place at the cross? Are you standing far off tonight in the cross? Please stand. Please stand. We've got to stand for you. We want to sing. You need to pray? Come.
You need to draw near to the cross. You need to stand afar from the conceited. If you need to cross Jordan tonight, you get the double portion.
You need to come.
If there's been temptation and the desire for sin in your life, and the devil paints you a pretty picture, you better look again at David tonight and realize that your kinsmen will have to stand afar off of you.
And you play and dabble with sin. I wonder if there's anybody here, or how many somebodies, to be honest, to the Holy Ghost tonight and come to this altar and pray. However he's directed you to. I don't know your heart, and it's not my business. But no doubt somebody's standing far off. Probably more than one somebody. I wonder, would this be the night we draw near? If you need the double portion, you need to just draw near the cross. You need to be saved. Come tonight. While we stand, the altar's open. I wonder, would you move to it? I wonder, would you come?
I wonder, would you get saved? Get right!
God help.
I'd say you're doing right. Where are you tonight? Oh, sinner, why don't you get saved tonight? Oh, child of God, you're standing at Jordan. You're standing at the crossing. Instead of having the double portion, you're watching somebody else. Why don't you come tonight? Oh, child of God, you've been acquainted with Him, but you're standing afar off from His cross tonight. Why don't you come? While these are praying, why don't you be honest and do what you know you ought to tonight? Let God have His way. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you tonight. Would you come tonight while we sing?